Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. It's in the Charlie Kirk Show. Scott Pressler joins us. Some good news out of Louisiana. We put the pressure to get Jim Jordan across the finish line. And finally, Carrie Lake joins us to talk about what's happening in Arizona and why she's running for the U.S. Senate. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. The most important organization in the country is Turning Point USA. Get engaged. Get involved. Check it out. Have your young person in your life, your kid, your grandkid, start a chapter at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. This weekend, there was actually a flip. There's so much negative news out there. Negative, 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 negative. What if I told you that we flipped a governor's seat from Democrat to Republican? That's good news, everybody. It's a good sign ahead of 2024. It's in a state that should be reliably Republican, but has a tricky tradition of electing Democrats in statewide offices. And it's a great governor. He's rock solid. He does a lot with Turning Point USA. He's a firm believer, Jeff Landry. And we're talking about Louisiana. Louisiana had a Democrat governor, Bel Edwards, I think was his name. Boom, we flipped that out from Democrat to Republican. And someone who is largely responsible for that, is someone that we are partnering on a lot of different stuff, is Scott Pressler from Early Vote Action. Scott, congratulations. You were working it very hard. Tell us about the story about what happened in Louisiana over the weekend. People have been understandably focused on Israel and the speaker's race. Yet here's a great canary in the coal mine. We flipped a Democrat mansion to a Republican mansion. Scott, tell us about it.
Well, you know, Charlie, this was especially huge because a couple things were at play. We had 15 different candidates running. This was on a Saturday. This was during football, LSU versus Auburn. This was when we had other Republican candidates that were still running and taking votes. And yet, on the day of the primary, Jeff Landry received over 51% of the vote. So he was elected outright. There is no runoff. And this was so important because we have elections this November on Tuesday, November 7th. So now we have momentum going into November. People know that we can win. And furthermore, I think one of the coolest takeaways from Louisiana is Caddo Parish, Shreveport, is majority Black. And that parish voted for Jeff Landry for governor. So people are seeing the disastrous Joe Biden Democratic agenda. And people are seeing what Republicans are bringing to the table for fighting for working class America. And that was evident in the Saturday, October 14th election.
Yeah. So let's talk more about that. Louisiana is a tricky state, right? You would think that it's deep red, but it has a tradition of voting for Democrats in statewide offices, blue dog, more moderate Democrats. Tell us about the dynamics of this race and what can we learn about it specifically? Outreach, organizing, grassroots activity so that we could defeat the communists in November of 2024.
So Louisiana, like California, has a jungle primary system. That means that a whole bunch of candidates can run, but at the end of the day, if you don't receive 50% plus one of the vote, it goes to a runoff. So the reason why this election was so monumental is, as I stated, 15 candidates were running. Several of those people were elected politicians in the Louisiana government. And despite that, Jeff Landry won outright. That shows you the caliber of the man that we just elected as governor of Louisiana. But in terms of grassroots, I really want to give a shout out to the hundreds of volunteers that through early vote action, we wrote thousands of letters to new movers in Louisiana. A new mover is somebody that has moved to the state, probably fleeing, you know, New York or California or one of the failed Democratic states. And so our volunteers wrote a letter welcoming them to Louisiana, explaining that we have a closed presidential primary, encouraging them to register as Republican, and furthermore, asking for their vote on Saturday, October 14th. And in part, this letter writing campaign did help to not only register new voters, but get them out to vote and delivered a victory for Jeff Landry on October 14th.
So let's keep the momentum going, right? So let's get this into Arizona and Georgia and Wisconsin. Talk about where you're going to be dedicating your resources and your time. Louisiana was a sleeper, right? I mean, we didn't even cover it in the lead up. It's a comfortably red state. Jeff Landry is great. But I hope everybody understands, for Jeff Landry to avoid a runoff, that's a great structural sign. And also, if you look at things regionally, you're talking about the Black community there, Scott. If that is any sort of an indicator, even by 2%, even by 3%, Georgia is going to look pretty sweet for us for Donald J. Trump if he's the nominee, which it looks like it will. So Louisiana very well could have been almost a little bit of a litmus test, a little bit of a real poll of, will Blacks in the South be more willing to vote Republican? Tell us more about that, Scott.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's anecdotal, but I'm a data guy, and I've been telling people for months, I've seen the Democratic Party of Louisiana, because they have voter registration data by demographics, lose Black voters, while Republicans in Louisiana were gaining Black voters. Yes, this is just Louisiana, but what if this translate, like you said, to Georgia, to Duval, Jacksonville, or maybe what if it even translate to Milwaukee or Philadelphia? But my organization, Early Vote Action, we are focused on Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Now, four out of those five states have voter registration by party. So this letter writing methodology, we can implement, for example, to make sure that Arizona independents are aware of the presidential preference election. You must be registered as a Republican if you want to vote for your favorite Republican candidate next year in Arizona. Same thing goes for Nevada. And so we can implement this. But I also want to talk about very briefly, yes, those are my priority states for 2024. But this November, Charlie, we have Kentucky, Daniel Cameron for governor, Mississippi, Tate Reeves for governor. We also have New Jersey and Virginia have state legislative elections. And then the reason why I'm here in Pennsylvania is the Supreme Court election with Judge Carolyn Corluccio. Those are my foci right now going into November 7th.
So I love that. And I mean, you have it all laid out, you know, of where you're going. So let me ask you, Scott, we've had you on the program before. Have you received a phone call from anybody in the Republican establishment asking how you're doing? You know, and did you see other Republican establishment groups on the ground in Louisiana? Because they're certainly taking credit for it.
Well, today is day 186 that I reached out to the chairwoman of the party, asking for a response on what we're doing to win this November and bring young people into the equation, which clearly Turning Point Action and Turning Point USA are doing. And no, I haven't received a phone call. I do want to give credit, though, because Casey Crosby, who is the treasurer of the RNC, I did work with her and I did go to the Commonwealth of Kentucky to support Daniel Cameron for governor. We all need to support Daniel Cameron because they have a Democratic governor, and we wish Mitch McConnell a long, healthy, sustaining life. But his health is in question right now. And if something were to happen that he were forced to retire, it is by law the Democratic governor that would appoint his replacement. And that Democratic governor said that he won't follow the law. So I really want people to understand the magnitude and the consequential nature of what's happening this November. As you said, Charlie, yes, Israel is important. What's happening in Ukraine is important. This vote today for the speakership is important. But the very nature of November 7th elections in those states that I laid out are important going into 2024 as well.
Yeah, and just, Scott, I don't like poll watching, but Kentucky's a problem right now. Andy Beshear looks like he's in the driver's seat. And so we need a grassroots lift big time. And again, these southern states are tricky, everybody. They will never vote for a Democrat for president, but they'll sneak in a Democrat governor or a Democrat senator here or there. You got to look at Georgia, Montana, Kentucky. I know it's, again, remember, Democrat states don't sneak in Republicans. Republicans sneak in Democrats. Scott Pressler, Early Vote Action, great work. Hardest working grassroots warrior out there. If we had 1,000 Scott Presslers, we would win the 2024 election. Instead, I don't know what the heck is going on. Scott, keep it up. We have your back. Thank you. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code Charlie. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. So far, 12 no votes for Jim Jordan. Ken Buck, we're not sure how he voted. Don Bacon voted for McCarthy. Chavez DeRemer voted for McCarthy. D'Esposito voted for Zeldin. Yeah, that really helps. Diaz Balart voted for Scalise. Elzy voted for Mike Garcia. Garbarino voted for Zeldin. This is all over the place. Jimenez voted for McCarthy. Gonzalez voted for Scalise. Granger voted for Scalise. These people aren't even running, and they're voting for them. Kelly voted for Scalise. Kiggins voted for McCarthy. And LaLota voted for Zeldin. That's so far. It'll probably actually end up closer to... They're already... Yeah, probably about 20... So Jordan has a lot of work to do. That is worse than I thought it would be. And so you need some majority of 217, right? So a combination of no votes and absence. The math changes. So you need 217, essentially, to be able to become Speaker of the House out of 218 total. So that's it's continuing as it is. So we have the picture-in-picture here. It's going to go to another round of voting. These moderates are just trying to get out of their system. I guess. No, what's going on here is these moderates have come together, and they're basically like, we are so upset at the conservatives. We're so upset about what they made us go through in January. We're so upset what happened with motion to vacate. They want to try and inflict hell on the rest of the conference. That's what's going on here. It's petty. It's baseless. It's not about governing. It's not principled. It's basically a venting coalition. And they're in big disconnect with their voters. So let me tell you what's different about what's happening in January, what happened in January versus now. In January, the voters were largely with these members like Roy and Luna and Donalds and Biggs and Crane that were holding the line to try to get reforms for the House Speaker. There are not voters right now, even in the moderate camp, moderate voters that are like, you know what? I really want Congressman Gonzalez to go vote for Scalise. No, this is petty. It is incredibly juvenile what they're doing. Perfect, to be perfectly honest. You have a potentially great speaker, but for them, they do not want a great conservative speaker. They want someone that is going to keep business as usual. They want clean CRs. They do not want 12 individual spending bills. They don't want to touch the border. If they want anything, they want amnesty. They want unlimited amounts of funding to Ukraine. They want a new building for the FBI. So someone like Jim Jordan frightens them. And for those of you that are skeptical about Jim Jordan, the fact that he is receiving this kind of establishment resistance should actually strengthen your resolve to help get Jim Jordan across the finish line. That this kind of Republican uniparty resistance should show you that Jim Jordan is actually going to be a far improvement beyond what we've seen before. This is very serious stuff, by the way. These quote-unquote moderates who are going to force another carousel of voting and another round of voting and another round of voting, they're not putting the country first. And what is their argument? They obviously don't have any strategy. They're all voting for different people. You got people voting for McCarthy. You got people voting for Zeldin. You got people voting for Scalise. You got LZ voting for Mike Garcia. This is protest votes is what it is. So what is the ask? The ask when Matt Gaetz did this back in January was very clear. Okay, I want this, 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 and this. And to Matt Gaetz and Andy Biggs and all their credit, they got what they wanted at the end. They either said present, so they didn't vote, or they ended up making a deal. And again, I'm not saying we should be like this. The Democrats are so unbelievably totalitarian. They love power. They know how to use power. They don't want to lose power. We're very kind of loosey-goosey with power because we don't actually consider power to be an end. We consider power to be a means. Democrats consider power to be a means and an end. Their whole life is about getting power for power's sake. It's very similar to O'Brien in the book 1984 by Orwell. Power is about power. And that's a hard thing. I mean, when I say that, conservatives like short circuit sometimes, they're like, I don't understand. You don't think like a leftist. That's why you don't understand. Their whole life is about having their boot on your neck. Their boot, your neck. For us, it's like about family, church, nice vacations, building a business, charity, raising good kids. Democrats would say, no, my boot, your neck. My boot, your neck. We're about value creation, production, entrepreneurship, building things that last. They say, my boot, your neck. That's what you're up against. And for Republicans, they're playing so loosey-goosey with this because honestly, they're not serious about governing. They're serious about making a point. I sure hope it straightens itself out. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com and click on the Preborn banner. Lots to cover with Carrie Lake. Carrie Lake is running for Senate in Arizona. She's already consolidated widespread support across the board. Congratulations, Carrie. Doesn't look like there's going to be much of a primary and a rather tricky and unusual general election against two Democrats, one that admits it and one that pretends that she is not. Carrie, tell us why you're running and the path forward.
Well, thanks for having me on, Charlie. It's so good to be here with you and the folks listening to you today. I'm worried about Arizona, plain and simple. I mean, my husband and I tried to come up with every reason not to run. I know we have a following and a movement, and we led an incredible campaign for governor. And I don't want to see the people that are worried about Arizona being left high and dry. And that's what they're going to get right now with the two people running. We've got Kyrsten Sinema and Ruben Gallego. He's a socialist Democrat, Marxist, to be honest. And she is a very liberal Democrat. I call her Kyrsten the chameleon. Every time around the election rolls around, she tries to come back to Arizona and act like she's a moderate, and it couldn't be further from the truth. The two of them vote with Joe Biden and his agenda 100% of the time, almost nearly 100% of the time. And that's not where Arizona is. They voted against securing the border time and time again. Our border is a mess. They vote for his Biden's disastrous energy policy, which has been the reason that inflation has skyrocketed and hit Arizona harder than anywhere else. And so we need someone who's going to go to Arizona and truly represent the people of this beautiful state and be America first. I'm tired of watching people in Congress go there and then act like they forgot who they're representing, we the people. So I'm excited to be in the race. I know it's going to be grueling. They're telling me it's going to be a $300 million race. And, you know, everyone's going to be gunning for us, but I'm ready for it. I'm tested. I know exactly how to run a campaign, how to work hard and get the vote. And I'm going to do that again here for the U.S. Senate seat.
So some people are asking, Carrie, and I'm sure you're going to have to navigate the only question in the primaries. Carrie, what's to stop them from doing what they did to you in 2022, right? And I mean, because I went to go vote on and you were sabotaged by Richer. And by Maricopa County and many other people. I went to go vote, Scottsdale Voting Center. There should not be a voting center, by the way. And it was a 2.5 hour wait. You know, people running all over the place. What assurances can you give your audience, lawsuits, things you're still pursuing, so that they don't sabotage you again?
Well, thank you for asking. I do want people to know I'm not giving up on the fight to bring about honest elections back to Arizona. And frankly, we need them all over the country. And so I'm continuing along with my court cases and, you know, it's moving slowly. It's like molasses on a cold winter's day. And I don't know if that's by design, but our court cases are trudging along and moving slowly. But that's what they want. They want us stuck in court. And they want to stop our movement. And I can't allow that to happen. Our movement is too strong. It's too strong. And it's moms and dads and grandparents and young people. And they want this movement to continue forward. I'm a mom, so I'm capable of multitasking, Charlie. I know that Eric is probably the same way. And I can continue along with the court cases. And I know there are little things being done and will continue to be done to get a little bit of improvement here and there and here and there. But most importantly, I know that by November of 24, and I wish it didn't have to be this way, things are going to get so bad here in Arizona and in America. You are going to have to hold back people from voting. People are going to vote in such huge numbers that it's going to be really hard, even with problems that we have, to keep our vote from being counted. And so I'm counting on that. I know President Trump says that we got to swamp the system. We have to get out and vote. Not only like our lives depend on it, but the survival of this great nation depends on it. And I think we'll get there by November.
Yeah. And look, I'll say this. The big issue that I would self-examine for myself is that we allow them to create a traffic jam on election day. We're going to have to figure this out. Low prop voters, people that might feel comfortable to vote early in person. It might not be the most secure thing, but we can't have another bum rush to a voting center on Scottsdale Road, where they, you know, you're voting at some church or something, and it's a 2 hour wait. It's not acceptable, right? And Carrie, imagine that
right.
With presidential turnout, right? Presidential turnout. Well, I mean, plus Carrie Lake type turnout. We got to figure this out. Sorry, please finish that thought.
Right. No, and 2 hours is too long. But you know, Charlie, for your listeners, we had lines that were 4, 5, and 6 hours on election day. That is too long. That's a disenfranchisement of voters, and we're going to work on that. I agree. Vote. I always said, vote however you want. If you have an envelope with a ballot in it, get it out, get it sent back. And so we want people to vote. With the minute that voting starts, start voting. And I think in a three-way race, we have a really great advantage to win this. I'm excited. I'm excited, really, to get to business in solving these problems we have. We've had the same problems for so long. I covered it as a journalist of 30 years. I was covering all of these problems, inflation, a bad, you know, immigration system, a wide open border, gas prices are high. And then we got a 4-year reprieve, a 4-year bit of relief under President Trump. And that's why I support him. He got to Washington and he got to work on the people's business. And so we need to get a whole bunch of people in DC working for we the people. And I think we can do that.
So, Carrie, I want to shift gears here for a second. You've probably heard there's this big story in Arizona right now. Two journalists that work for Turning Point USA went to go ask a professor at Arizona State University, you know, all about how he puts on performances for children, drag queen type story hour stuff, has some suspicious stuff he wrote on a Substack about, you know, adults having sex with minors. He deleted that. You know, just questions like, hey, you're being funded by U.S. taxpayer. I mean, Arizona taxpayers at Arizona State University. It has now gone viral, and not in a good way, because the president of ASU is lying about the incident. the media is lying about the incident. And Carrie, the entire institute, you know this, the whole institutional media in Arizona is captured by the Marxist left. It's unbelievable to even get a word in edgewise. The professor lunges at our student, our reporter. Our reporter acts in self-defense, and all of a sudden, every single one of the stories is Turning Point USA journalist assaulted professor. And we have this one still shot picture. I mean, we have the B-roll. Let's put 46 up. The professor is in a dress as a man. Okay. 46, you'll see, put it up on here. And you see he lunges first and then out of self-defense. And that's the more operative one. Let's put that one screenshot that you guys put up there. Carrie, what's your reaction to this? Because this is turning into a big, you know, brouhaha in Arizona, all based on a lie.
It looks like the quality of professors have gone down since I've been in college. I'll say that. And this is pretty crazy. This is, you know, the media has a right to talk to somebody like that. And I didn't see, you know, maybe the line of questioning was difficult for the professor to handle. But the media has the right to ask tough questions and even questions you don't like. Welcome to my world. I get that all the time. As a matter of fact, I was on ASU's campus a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, and I was there for a protest to make sure we didn't force ASU students in 115 degree heat to have to wear masks. And Bram Resnick from Channel 12, NBC, a very, very biased socialist reporter, started following me. I said to him, I don't want to talk to you because I know what kind of reporting you do. And I also noticed that you refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And I frankly don't want to talk to you, Bram. And yet he continued to follow me. And I didn't hear anything from ASU saying that was inappropriate. Why did they follow Carrie Lake? Why did they follow her as she was going to her car? Nothing. I heard nothing, just the opposite. They were saying that that was okay. So, you know, which way is it? And where is freedom of speech? We should have freedom of speech. Nobody should be subjected to having their camera being pushed out of their hand or attempted to be lunged at. And Michael Crow has done more harm for the First Amendment, frankly, right there on that campus than anybody.
I want to play that piece of tape. We've isolated that still shot. Put that up one more time. I want to walk through it. That right there in the white is the aggressor, the professor. And then I want to read some of these, keep it up. I just want to read some of these headlines, what we have to deal with. And Andrew's been doing a great job. So you type in Turning Point USA to Google, okay? And one after the other of articles that are lying about our organization. Moment, two members of Turning Point USA assault professor. Wait a second, does that look like we're assaulting a professor? Look at that. ASU Turning Point USA accused of bloodying ASU professor. USA University professor shoved to ground by right-wing youth activists. This is how dishonest the media is. You see right there, the professor lunges and tries to attack our journalists. In self-defense, they defend themselves, and the entire media intentionally lies about Turning Point USA. Let's play cut 45. This is the clip you were talking about, Carrie.
You know what? I don't talk to people who don't do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, I don't do the pledge?
Bram, why didn't you say
the pledge?
I don't want to talk to you. I noticed that you would not say the Pledge of Allegiance, and that's really despicable. Why can't you put your hand on your heart and say the pledge?
He doesn't pledge allegiance?
I am of the Pledge of Allegiance.
So that's
they
Bram
followed me to my car,
you.
By the way.
Yeah. So by the way, Bram wrote articles and tweeted out that we were harassing, but he's done that kind of reporting before.
Yeah. They followed me to my car. I did not push him. I mean, I don't care for him. I don't care for his type of reporting, but you know, I was a journalist for 30 years. I know what the rights are of journalists in this country. And no, I didn't get any backup or any pushback. Michael Crow never came to my defense. The AZ Republic never came to my defense. And Bram certainly didn't. As a matter of fact, he just constantly attacks me. You know, I look at our polling and I know that the vast majority of Arizonans believe in what I stand for, which is safe streets, a healthy economy, a secure border. And yet when you read what these people, these so-called journalists, I call them propagandists, are putting out, they're not with the people. They're not at all. And they write attack pieces on me every day. Sometimes I woke up one day, I had three articles that were nasty and horrible coming out of the AZ Central, is what they call it, Arizona Republic. I call it Arizona Repugnant. And they're just not representative of A, fair journalism, and B, where the people of this state are. And this is why during my acceptance speech, or my speech announcing that I was going to run for the United States Senate last week, I told people to turn off the media and end their subscriptions. We've got to let them, you know, we have a way of protesting. We can use our voice, right? We can also protest using our pocketbook. We don't have to give these entities money. And I know many of your listeners probably have gotten rid of their subscription to the repugnant AZ Central, but your parents or grandparents might not have. And you really need to have a conversation with them, because I know a lot of folks who are a little bit older like to have a newspaper on their driveway, but they also love this country. And the type of reporting coming out of this outlet is damaging to our country. It's anti-American.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation. Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-492-5454 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. So Carrie Lake is running for the U.S. Senate. It's going to be an unusual race. You have a Marxist Gallego, and then you have Sinema, who is allegedly still running as some form of a moderate. Carrie, what do you think are the top issues, the border being one of them, the economy, that are going to propel you to victory and also make sure that President Trump wins State 48?
Well, if you ask just Arizona citizens, I think it's just their safety and the ability to actually put food on the table and live in this economy. And everything that is wrong right now, you can attribute and you can channel it right back to what Joe Biden has done and his enablers, Ruben Gallego and Kyrsten Sinema. What do I mean by that? When you go to the grocery store, I was talking to a woman the other day and I said, I can't believe the price of groceries. I mean, they've doubled, maybe even more in some cases. And she said, heck, I'm worried about the price of groceries. I'm worried actually about getting from my car into the grocery store safely in my neighborhood. There's so much crime. I've got to watch over my shoulder. I try to put my little ones in their car seats and I'm looking around going, is somebody going to come up to me and carjack me? That's how dangerous our streets are right now. And that's because we have a wide open border. We have an economy that's in the toilet. People can't find work. People are desperate. People haven't been properly educated and they don't know how to make a living. And then on day one, besides opening up the border, Joe Biden shut down an energy independence policy that President Trump had put into place that made us not only energy independent, but on our verge of being energy dominant, where we could sell energy to the world. And he pulled that back. And that's when we noticed immediately inflation starting to shoot up. The price of everything went up, because when gasoline prices go up and energy prices go up, the price to move and haul food and items that we purchase went up. And so it's pretty simple to fix. Go back to President Trump's policies. But we're never going to have that happen with Biden in office or with people like Ruben Gallego or Kyrsten Sinema. They're voting for Chuck Schumer and they're voting for Biden every step of the way. We've got to get somebody in who's going to put forth America First policies and help get this agenda back on track to turn our country around. And that's why I'm running. I'm a mom who's very worried about my children's future. I'm worried about the cost of living. I'm worried about our safety and security on our streets and in our neighborhoods. It doesn't have to be the way it is right now. And we're really on the verge of total destruction under Joe Biden, Kyrsten Sinema, and Ruben Gallego.
Carrie Lake, it's going to be a race to witness and watch. We'll be here for all of it. God bless you and come back anytime. Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you. Thank you. I could use some help. Go to CarrieLake.com, sign up to volunteer and sign up to get me on the ballot. It's a 2-minute process, Charlie. You just go in there if you're an Arizona registered voter. Get me on the ballot. We're almost there. And if you can make a donation, I would appreciate it. We've got to go up against the Soros machine here.
Very good. Carrie, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.